Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. Today is a special day at Watchmen on the Wall. We're celebrating the 30th anniversary of our monthly newsletter, The Prophetic Observer. Dr. Larry Spargimino and Josh Davis will lead the celebration in just a moment. First, though, I want to invite you to see Jonathan Kahn, the keynote speaker at our upcoming Columbus, Ohio Prophecy Conference, October 26th through the 28th. Come hear Jonathan Kahn live in person as he reveals details from his new book and DVD series, The Josiah Manifesto. Register today by calling 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Or you can visit the events page of our website, swrc.com. Join Jonathan Kahn and over a dozen of the nation's top Bible prophecy speakers, October 26th through the 28th in Columbus, Ohio. All of the speakers, topics, and schedule are available at our website, swrc.com. Register today. Don't miss this special opportunity to see Jonathan Kahn live in person. swrc.com and click on Events. Or call 1-800-652-1144. For the past 30 years, The Prophetic Observer has been a publication of Southwest Radio Ministries that examines events which have prophetic significance. Keeping time on God's prophetic clock, each issue has articles that examine a topic or event that relates to the fulfillment of end-time prophecies. Here's Dr. Larry Spargimino and Josh Davis.
On today's Watchmen on the Wall, we are highlighting our Prophetic Observer newsletter. And this is a free resource that we send out to thousands of mailing addresses all across America each month. Pastor Larry Spargimino is my guest, and it's unusual for me to say that because you're the host of Watchmen on the Wall. So, Pastor Larry, we're so glad to be joined with you.
Well, good to have you working on the Southwest Radio Church team.
Now, this is a special anniversary year for Southwest Radio Ministries. In April, we marked 90 years of ministry through the airwaves, and also it's the 30th anniversary of the Prophetic Observer newsletter. What are some of the general things about the Prophetic Observer? Pastor Larry, I know you've been a part of that for about 25 of those 30 years now.
Well, yes, I've been writing the PO, as we call it, writing for that for about 20-plus years, and I think it's really a great publication. People often request additional copies of the Prophetic Observer. And one of the issues that people keep on asking for over and over and over again was the article written by Pastor Hutchings several years ago on the date of Jesus' birth. Jesus was not born on December the 25th. The PO, as we call it, is one of our recurring publications. And like you mentioned, those who want to subscribe can call our toll-free number, 1-800-652-1144. Now, the Prophetic Observer examines developing current events and seeks to understand them in terms of the biblical prophetic revelation. That's very important. We certainly do not set dates, but we focus on signs and the soon coming of the Lord. And, of course, many people in America see current events as a kind of random collection of disturbing events that have no order or place in history. But we, on the other hand, see current events lining up with Bible prophecy. History is linear, moving towards a point of consummation as described in the Bible. So I think we're kind of unusual about that, and it's a very important thing with us. We believe in prophecy, and we think prophecy is very important.
And that's one of the key focuses of the Prophetic Observer. And friends, if you're listening and you do not yet receive our Prophetic Observer, it's basically a newsletter that we send out free of charge. Now, you can purchase, as Pastor Larry said, additional copies by contacting our ministry. But please reach out to us, give us your mailing address, and we'll be happy to add you to our growing list of people who are receiving this free of charge from Southwest Radio Ministries every single month. Typically, Pastor Larry and I, or another guest or another member of our ministry team, will write these articles, typically two articles in each of the Prophetic Observer newsletters, as always cutting edge and informative on very important biblical concepts with a view towards Bible prophecy. And speaking of Bible prophecy, Pastor Larry, is there really such a thing as Bible prophecy?
That's a great question. Some people deny that there is such a thing as Bible prophecy, but there is such a thing. You know, Joshua, there are two kinds of prophecy. There is fulfilled prophecy and there is unfulfilled prophecy. Fulfilled prophecies are those prophecies which were given far in the distant past and have already been fulfilled in the past. For example, the prophecies of the virgin birth found in Isaiah 7:14, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now, 700 years later, Matthew is writing about Joseph, who is engaged to Mary. He finds out that she is pregnant. He's not the father. Hey, what's going on? Well, while he is pondering all of this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and explained in Matthew 1, verses 22 and 23, exactly what we read in Isaiah 7:14. So this is a prophecy that was given in the past and was fulfilled in the past. And then there is unfulfilled prophecy. That's a prophecy that has been revealed, but it has not yet been fulfilled. It's still unfulfilled. Future events, such as the second coming, still have not yet happened. They have been prophesied, but their fulfillment is still future. And what I really think is important, Joshua, is that just as fulfilled prophecy has been fulfilled exactly as written, we therefore have confidence that those prophecies which are not yet fulfilled will be fulfilled exactly as written. So I think prophecy is very important. We need to study prophecy. It gives us an insight as to what's going on today.
And Pastor Larry, tied to that is the question, why are so many people interested in Bible prophecy?
Well, there are many people who do not know very much about Bible prophecy, yet they know something about it. Quite often, you know, Joshua, when something happens that may appear strange, bizarre, and apocalyptic, even the average man on the street will say, doesn't the Bible speak about this very thing? It's really amazing. They're not Bible scholars, but they ask that question. And of course, there are still many people in America who know something about the Bible through books and videos like the Late Great Planet Earth and the Left Behind series. So, you know, I'm aware of a renewed interest in the Bible and Christianity, especially in view of what's happening in America in the last few years. Many Americans have taken our liberties and blessings for granted. So a lot of Americans are retracing our history. Why have we been such a great nation? What does it mean to be an American? They're dissatisfied with wokeism, the destruction of women's sports, the sexual indoctrination of kids at school, and I believe this is going to lead to another great awakening. And I think in a real sense, President Biden has been a blessing. We had become so complacent, so indifferent. So what I'm saying is that people are going back to the Bible and they're saying, you know, this mark of the beast technology, hey, we read about that in Revelation 13, or the move to digital currency or a cashless society. And we see that right now, and some of the things with the World Economic Forum, a lot of people, they may not be Bible scholars, but they say, hey, the Bible really speaks about this. So I think there's a renewed interest in Bible prophecy and in the Bible. So I'm very optimistic about the whole thing.
And friends, we're visiting with Pastor Larry Spargimino, the host of Watchmen on the Wall. So it's a little bit unusual for me to say we're visiting with him, but I'm enjoying our conversation thus far and look forward to the rest of it. We're discussing the 30-year anniversary of the Prophetic Observer. This is a monthly newsletter that we publish here at Southwest Radio Ministries and send free of charge across the country. Every month we have people call us to order extra copies so that they can distribute them to friends and family and to people at their church. And we are just so blessed to know that these prophetic articles are a blessing to so many people across the country. If you're not yet on our mailing list and you'd like to start receiving the Prophetic Observer newsletter, please contact our ministry today. A couple ways that you can do that is by calling us at 1-800-652-1144 or by visiting us online at swrc.com. Pastor Larry, why is it important that we study Bible prophecy?
Wow, that's a great question. I can give a couple of reasons. For one thing, the study of prophecy demonstrates very clearly that God is in control of history, and He plays a major role in how history all pans out. God rules in the affairs of men. You know, going back historically, on the morning of the Battle of Waterloo in 1815, Napoleon was sure he had a strategy that would beat the English. He was sure that France would soon rule Europe. His commanding officer said, "Well, sir, we must not forget that man proposes and God disposes." And Napoleon is reputed to have said, "I want you to understand, sir, that Napoleon proposes and Napoleon disposes." Well, we know how that turned out. Napoleon met his Waterloo in June of 1815. So I think Bible prophecy reminds us that God is in control of history. What's happening now is not accidental. It doesn't catch God by surprise. It shouldn't catch us by surprise. Joshua, I believe there's another purpose for studying prophecy. Bible prophecy helps us to resolve the seeming uncertainty regarding the outcome of history. You know, I love history. I know you love history. And as we study history, there are evidences of kingdom victory. A lot of good things happening. But then there are also evidences that evil is gaining the upper hand. But prophecy shows us that this puzzling state of affairs will not always prevail. The kingdom of God will blossom into a full bloom of unprecedented glory. God will put down all rebellion, and the redeemed will one day sing His praises for all eternity. So a study of prophecy shows us the greatness of God. It confronts us with His claims. And I think that's really important. And by the way, you and I well know that there are people who are converted on prophecy because they see this amazing correspondence between what's happening today and what was written about in the Bible 2,000-3,000 years ago. And that's very convincing to them. Here we have concrete proof that the Bible is indeed the Word of God.
Such a great point that you make there. We want to study God's Word, and God's Word is full of prophetic utterances where God has spoken to us and showed us what these things will be and the signs of the times and so many other things. And we don't want to get the cart before the horse. Some people look at the signs and then go back to the Bible, but I know you very well, Pastor Larry, want to start with the Scripture and then see what is happening and how God's Word is being fulfilled in light of the current events. So, and that's such an important distinction, and thank you for your perspective on why we need to study Bible prophecy. In the recent Prophetic Observers, you've been writing a series of articles speaking about Abraham and the covenant that God made with him, and this is such a crucial part of Bible prophecy because Israel plays a central role in Bible prophecy. And so it's very important, it's crucial that we understand these truths. So let's look at your series that you've been writing for the Prophetic Observer for the last several months and talk a little bit about who was Abraham and what was his importance in Scripture.
Well, Joshua, there are a couple of really important individuals in the Bible. One, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul is also one of the critically important individuals in the Bible. And then third, I believe, Abraham. Some people have said, well, please explain that. Well, yes, I'd like to explain that. It's kind of like in a building. You know, every building has walls, but not all of the walls are load-bearing walls. If you're remodeling an old house, you can take out a couple of walls to make the living room larger and to incorporate the kitchen area with the living room. But you had better not take out a load-bearing wall. If you do, the roof will fall in. Well, Abraham is like a load-bearing wall. He is critically important to both the Old and the New Testaments. And I think of Abraham, I think he's even more important than Moses. Moses was Israel's lawgiver, and I don't want to diminish that, but Abraham, in Genesis 15, for example, was justified by faith. And of course, that is one of the great themes of the Bible, one of the great themes of the Reformation. I see so many things in the writings of Paul that hearken back to the Abrahamic covenant. In fact, when we look at Galatians 3:17, Paul writes that, quote, "The covenant that was conferred before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul." In other words, Paul goes on to say that the law was neither first nor is it final in God's dealing with humanity. And how can Paul say that? Well, he's looking at what Abraham did, what Abraham said, and how the Lord blessed him and showed him so many things. So I really think Abraham and the Abrahamic covenant is really critically important to the whole Bible.
Pastor Larry and I are discussing the Prophetic Observer newsletter that's available free of charge from Southwest Radio Ministries. If you're not yet on our mailing list, you can sign up today by contacting us at 1-800-652-1144 or by visiting us online at swrc.com. Pastor Larry, what's the significance of the Abrahamic covenant? Maybe describe for us what this covenant is and why it is so significant.
Well, that's another critically important question. Thank you so much for that. The Abrahamic covenant is an unconditional covenant. We need to remember that. When it was made, Abraham was asleep. So Abraham does not have to meet certain specified conditions for the covenant to be in force. Abraham did not pass between the animals that had been cut in two. A pillar of fire representing God passed between the pieces. So God was actually taking an oath of imprecation upon himself. Now, what does that mean? Well, in the ancient world, when a suzerain, a great king, made a treaty or a covenant with a vassal, they would take animals, they would cut the animals in half, and the great king, the suzerain, would walk between the pieces of the animals. And in that way, he was signifying that if he should break the stipulations, his promises of that covenant, may he be cut in half and destroyed, even as these animals were cut in half and destroyed. This is the way treaties and covenants were made and sealed. Now, Hebrews 6, verse 13 says this, "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself," close quotes. In other words, God guarantees his promise. Abraham doesn't guarantee it. God guarantees the promise. Now, the promise is, first of all, that Abraham would have many descendants, and secondly, that these descendants have been guaranteed a piece of land. Now, Joshua, you know the big question today in the news, we hear about it almost every day, is, who owns the land of Israel? Well, the Palestinians have a claim, and this person, that person. But if you believe the Bible, God gave it to Abraham and his descendants by an unconditional promise. And we find it in Genesis 15. That's the Abrahamic covenant. And it's so beautiful. You know, if people read the Bible and believed the Bible, I think all the confusion, all the problems that we're having today on the home front, and on the international scene would be very, very quickly solved. And that pertains to so many things. For example, how many genders? Well, God made them male and female. For example, who owns the land of Israel? Well, God's people, the descendants of Abraham. So I think the Abrahamic covenant and the scripture is so relevant today for every issue. If we just got back to believing it and obeying it, we would see peace on earth. And of course, one day that will happen when King Jesus comes back personally and establishes the kingdom of God on the earth.
Amen, Pastor Larry. We're discussing the Prophetic Observer, which is celebrating an anniversary, 30 years, and proclaiming God's prophetic truth as described in His Word. Pastor Larry is reminding us and teaching us some of the wonderful truths that he's been writing about over recent months on the life and the importance of Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant, and how that translates to what we see happening on the world stage today with a battle over the land, the property, and yet the unconditional promise was made to Abraham. Now, we know that Abraham was not a perfect man. We do not worship him. But we do know that there are a lot of great spiritual lessons that we can learn from his life. Pastor Larry, what are some of Abraham's strengths and weaknesses, and what are some of the lessons that we can learn from the life of Abraham?
Well, Abraham was certainly a man of great faith. It was faith that led to obedience, and that's really a Bible faith. It's not just some kind of internal emotion, but it leads to obedience. And for example, in Genesis 12:1, God said, "Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee." So when we're following God's will for our lives, we like to have all the information up front. I know I do. Okay, you want me to move? Are there golf clubs nearby? Can I play my game of golf? Is there a good fishing river? Is there good hunting nearby? Okay, so we like to have everything spelled out. But here, the Lord said, "Unto a land that I will show thee." So God did not give Abraham all the information up front. He spoke about a land that I will show thee. So that reminds me that God requires us to be obedient to what we do know. And what we don't yet know, God will reveal at some future time, just as he did to Abraham. And so by faith, Abraham left his comfort zone, his family, his friends, his hometown. Abram's faith wasn't just belief, it was obedient faith. Hebrews 11, verse 8 explains it very well. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And here's the point. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. That's the kind of faith we need to have. And like I say, God doesn't always reveal everything up front, but what he has revealed to us, we need to be obedient. And as we are obedient, he will fill in the blank spots. And so we see great faith in Abraham's willingness to sacrifice Isaac, the child of promise. You know, he and his wife, Sarah, had waited years for the fulfillment of that promise, and now God told him to offer Isaac, quote, "thine only son." Regarding Abraham, Hebrews 11, verse 19 says, "accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead." Now, I just think, I know I have a daughter, I know you have several children, just the thought of sacrificing a child, God's asking me to do something that goes against the grain, that goes against every nerve, muscle, and fiber in my being, but Abraham, as it says, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. So he certainly was a man of great faith. He did many commendable things, yet he had some weaknesses, and I'm glad he did because I can relate to that. For example, after he and Sarah arrived in Canaan, they had a misfortune. There was a famine in the land. Now, I think that is significant in and of itself. Abraham obeyed God and did the right thing, and now he and his wife are facing a problem. Joshua, you know that some of the popular preachers would lead you to believe that if you obey God, you'll be happy and you will have an easy life. Well, Abraham believed God, trusted God, obeyed God, but now he has a major problem. So he goes to Egypt with Sarah, his wife. He knows Sarah is a beautiful woman, and the Egyptians will kill him for his wife. The story is told in Genesis 12, verses 10 through 20. A woman could not be taken into Pharaoh's harem if she were married. Abraham believed that if Pharaoh knew that Abraham was Sarah's husband, he would have to first make Sarah a widow. So Abraham told Sarah to lie and say that she was Abraham's sister. However, the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues, and Pharaoh now realizes that Sarah is really a married woman. So Pharaoh, the pagan, ends up rebuking Abraham, the prophet of God. And sometimes non-believers are rightfully so critical of Christians. And I think here we have an example, a pagan Pharaoh saying to Abraham, "Why did you tell this lie? Why did you get me into all that trouble?" Now, evidently, Abraham did not learn his lesson, because in Genesis chapter 20, about 25 years later, Abraham and Sarah are now in the region of Gerar, which is in Philistia. Again, And I want to say that again. Again, Abraham lies about Sarah's identity to Abimelech, the king of Gerar. But God came to Abimelech in a dream. God said, "You are a dead man for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife." So this time, instead of being rebuked by Pharaoh in Egypt, Abraham is rebuked by Abimelech in Gerar. So I think sometimes, I know in counseling as a pastor, some people say, you know, boy, I've been struggling with a sin. I can't seem to get a victory over it. It's a besetting sin, a habitual sin. I mean, I think of Samson and his love for pagan women, and I think of what happened with Delilah. So, you know, we learn so much about our own lives, about sanctification, about justification, about God's way of healing, cleansing, strengthening us, blessing us. So, you know, if Abraham were a perfect person, I'd just read about it and say, well, he was a nice guy. That doesn't relate to me. But we have a full spectrum of the Christian emotions in Abraham. We see it very clearly, and we see how God teaches him, leads him, and instructs him. The more I study this stuff, the more I get to really appreciate the example of Abraham.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. These are all wonderful truths that we need to apply to our lives. And friends, if you're listening, we're talking about the 30th anniversary of the Prophetic Observer newsletter from Southwest Radio Ministries. If you're not yet on our mailing list to receive this free newsletter in your mailbox every single month, please contact us today. Our number is 1-800-652-1144 or visit us online at swrc.com. Pastor Larry, it's been my privilege to be with you. Thank you so much for your time today in explaining the wonderful articles that you've been writing about the life of Abraham, but also telling us and reminding us why it's important that we understand God's Word and Bible prophecy in light of what is happening in our world today. Thank you, Pastor Larry.
Thank you, Joshua. You're a great interview. I appreciate working with you.
Well, God bless you, and may the Lord give you many more fruitful years of ministry.
Subscribe to the Prophetic Observer monthly newsletter and be on the cutting edge of events that have prophetic significance. Subscribe today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. The Prophetic Observer newsletter, celebrating 30 years of keeping time on God's prophetic clock. Lord willing, we'll be back here Monday, ready to once again bring clarity to the chaos. Head into the weekend, my friends, with the encouragement that God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners just like you. Visit swrc.com.